From the headquarters of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, this is Capital and Scott. I'm your host, Laura Farrar. Today we are speaking with Arkansas Democrat Gazette's outdoor editor, feature writer, and columnist, Brian Hendricks, about the spread of chronic wasting disease in the state's deer and elk population. The disease has turned up in more counties in recent months, and it's a concern for the state's game and fish regulators and also for businesses that profit from a multi-million dollar hunting industry here. Brian, you've been following this issue for a while, not only in Arkansas, but also the spread and management of chronic wasting in surrounding states. Could you first start just kind of explaining to people who maybe aren't really familiar with what this is, what is it exactly, and what does it do to deer and elk populations?
Chronic wasting disease, which they know by CWD, that's how everybody refers to it. It's one in a family of disorders called transmissible spongiform encephalopathies, TSEs. Their species-specific CWD affects deer and moose and elk, cervids, I think bighorn sheep, caribou, reindeer. There's another one, scrapie, that affects sheep. There is another one that affects, there's a human form of it, several of them actually, I think. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease is another one that affects humans. Mad cow disease affects bovines, cattle. And so they all have in common a misshapen protein that erodes and destroys and eats away the brain, and it's always fatal. There's no, and we'll get to that. That's a little bit of a controversial subject, but there is no cure for it, at least in a wild population. Always fatal. You can tell a deer with chronic wasting disease by its emaciated state. They're not in good shape. Their fur is, and you know, poor looking, and they're also, they just don't act right. Sometimes people talk about, well, I had a deer in my backyard that I just walked right up to it and petted it. That's probably not a well deer. And what it is could be a number of things, because deer with the blue tongue will do that too. But, you know, chronic wasting disease deer, infected deer, do have that care. They're wobbly on their feet. They seem to be disoriented and just not right. And they'll eventually just succumb to the disease and die. And quite a number of them probably die unknown and unaccounted for. So we know in Arkansas that to date, it was first discovered in Arkansas in February of 2016 when the first case was reported in Newton County. I believe that was an elk, but to date, Game and Fish Commission has tested 1,182 deer and 35 elk. And in the highest zone of prevalence, which is up where they found it originally in the Buffalo River area near Ponca, the prevalence rate is about in the neighborhood of about 29%, which is very high. Almost 3 out of every 10 deer that they test have it. The other side of that is 7 out of 10 don't. So you have to keep that number in mind too. It's still a very high minority of infected deer that have this, even in the highest prevalence rate in the state. And so it keeps popping up here and there. And the latest one that really got everybody upset was in Union County, because it's in the mountains. It's been found in the mountains. And the Game and Fish was hoping that it would at least remain confined to that area and not get south of the Arkansas River. Well, deer swim rivers. They swim across the Mississippi and back all the time, even when it's in flood stage. They will do that. And so they had this one last month that they found during a controlled hunt in Felsenthal National Wildlife Refuge, and that one tested positive, and that's right on the Louisiana line, as far south as you can get, in the middle of Deer Management Zone 12, which is the most popular hunting area in the state, the largest deer management zone in the state with the highest annual bag limits. It's called Arkansas's Deer Factory.
And what is it, if you wouldn't mind, what is a deer management zone?
Yeah, Arkansas is divided into a great number. I'm not sure how many exactly there are, but I think there's about, I think there's 17 deer management zones, and they encompass, like Crowley's Ridge has one. And what that means is that, you know, deer might be a little more vulnerable to overharvest in a place like that. So the season might be shorter and the season bag limit might be a little bit smaller. Some zones are open only to archery and muzzleloader, for example, and not open to modern gun. It's one or two of those. Limits and regulations are just slightly different here and there. So I think zone 17 and zone 12, which is where Union County is, you know, those are the most liberal highest deer populations. And so when that hit there, that was just kind of almost a panic mode for a lot of people, because not only was it in zone 12, but as far south in zone 12 as you can get, which would tend to suggest that if that deer did not come up out of Louisiana, and there's some belief that it did, well, then it came from somewhere else, which means you can connect the dots all the way south, from north to south, and surmise that there are probably chronic wasting disease infected deer all over the place.
But deer don't migrate that far, do they? I mean, so how is this spreading? I mean, you know, it's not, and we're not getting deer from Wisconsin and Montana moving to Arkansas every day.
Mostly it spreads through human movement of, for example, it got here, most likely. And I don't think there's a whole lot of debate about that. It probably came here in the 80s with the elk that they imported in from Colorado. And it took that long before one to turn up. And, you know, it's funny because in 2014, I remember canoeing the Buffalo River during spring break of that year and encountering a dead elk in the middle of the river and how unusual that was. And when that chronic wasting disease deer was found, when that animal was found in 2016, I thought, that's probably what happened to that elk. And I just felt really bad about not reporting it to anybody at that time. But at that time, it probably just would have been, stuff like that happens, because we didn't think we had it. No, but deer themselves don't migrate, but people spread it around. For example, you might go to, say you want a permit to participate in a controlled deer hunt in Madison County Wildlife Management Area before all this happened. And you went up there and you killed a buck or a doe, and say you live down in Hamburg or Augusta, or not Augusta, but Hope. And you transported your deer down, and it may have shed a little blood on the way down on the trailer that it was on, but either way, it got from there to here. You processed your deer, you mounted the antlers and processed the meat, consumed that, and did away with the carcass however you did. You've just infected an area, possibly. If you transported a CWD-infected deer, you've just infected your area in Miller County. You know, that's how it's done. That's how Lyme disease was spread through the Northeast, was people carrying animals, dead deer from one place to another.
Mm-hmm. So the panic, though, getting back to the Zone 12, which Union County, is that around like El Dorado?
Yes.
Okay. The panic is because there's just so many deer there, and it's like, oh my God, if it's there, then they all could potentially have it. It's really a threat to hunting. Like, what is it exactly?
Well, I think the panic is probably a little bit strong word to use, because I really have not seen that reaction in people. And I think since 2016, I think it's a foregone conclusion among the Arkansas hunters that, yeah, it's probably everywhere, and nobody's going to be surprised if it shows up here or it shows up there. Nobody likes it, and they're disappointed, and there's suddenly a worry now. I would say a displaced or a delayed worry of people in Zone 12, generally speaking, in that part of the state, chronic wasting disease hasn't been detected. There's not been an urgency when you kill a deer, say down around Sheridan or El Dorado, to have your deer tested. Well, now there is, and that's the main thing I see, is that it's now in the consciousness of hunters all over the state now. I killed this deer and I probably ought to get it tested now, whereas 6 months ago, that was probably not a consideration among most people.
Do most hunters test their deer elsewhere where there's this chronic wasting, CWD, chronic wasting?
Yeah, up in the high prevalence zones, they do. And they've got, the Game and Fish makes it as easy as they can to do that. They've got testing facilities or drop-off facilities where you can test, have your deer. What they do is they cut out a lymph node out of the, out of the neck region and have that tested. They send it to a lab, I believe in Wisconsin, and they get the results back fairly quickly. And then you are notified whether or not because they recommend you don't eat, even though there's never been a documented case of somebody contracting any form of this from eating an infected deer. I believe it's the CDC issued a warning a couple of years, just advisory a couple of years ago of you might not want to do that. So, and I think what happened was chronic wasting disease prions were injected into the brains of macaque monkeys, which then got it. Well, nobody's injecting CWD prions into anybody's brain, so that's a little bit of an extreme situation, but it did happen. And so based on that, I think the CDC just issued that advisory of you might want to be careful with this.
Right. And, you know, reading about chronic wasting before, I know it's something that, you know, researchers and scientists are monitoring to see if it could potentially jump to humans.
Right.
But so far, there's no evidence of it doing that. Although monkeys, you know, certainly are used for testing a lot because they're genetic makeup is similar to humans and whatnot, so it could be concerning. But I mean, there's an argument that, well, it hasn't jumped to humans, so, you know, should hunters, are they really that concerned about it here? Is there under testing? Are they eating deer that are sick? Is it just something hunters live with now?
I mean, yeah, it's part of the landscape now, and it's part of something hunters live with. And the conversation that I have a lot of times is people my age, I'm in my 50s, and people in their 40s and 60s, they say, well, you know, if it's going to affect me, I'm probably not going to live long enough to worry about it. But they are worried about their grandkids, feeding venison to their grandkids and having, you know, somebody with all their life in front of them, because this stuff does take some time for it to reach critical mass and do what it does. And so there is some concern about, you know, feeding your child or your grandchild, you know, CWD infected venison, and then 20, 30 years down the road developing a problem over it. And there is a link to Alzheimer's disease, and so that's why there is some concern, you know.
Linked to Alzheimer's disease between, with what specifically?
Okay, that's how this all got started. I'm not sure exactly the year this happened, but there was a researcher at Stanford, Dr. Stanley Prusiner, who was doing research on Alzheimer's, and he was the one that discovered the presence of this folded, misshapen protein that was associated with Alzheimer's in his research, and he won a Nobel Prize for it. Well, there are other neuropathologists in the country to back up with Dr. Prusiner there. His theory is that the prion is what he named it. He named that the misshapen protein. He named it prion. His thing is that the prion is the pathogen, the active agent. There's another school of thought, scientific thought, among people that are also pretty well established, like Dr. Laura Manuelitis of Yale and Dr. Frank Bastian, I believe he did most of his work at Tulane, who say no, lab work demonstrates that the prion is a symptom of something else. Something else is the pathogen and the active agent that causes the proteins to fold and misshape and do what they do, which then cause the problem. And Dr. Bastian, who I interviewed in 2002, he did all of his work with scrapie, which was the sheep variant of the same thing. And in his research, he determined that hay mites were the vector transmitting a bacterium called spiroplasmosis to sheep, which caused scrapie, or it's not, because scientists like to be very careful about this. Not saying it caused, but there was an association.
Sure.
And he treated it with tetracycline and eradicated it in his test animals.
Well, it's just like, you know, with, wasn't it fleas that caused, was it the bubonic plague?
Bubonic plague.
And, you know,
right.
Vectors are basically sort of an intermediary between.
But the point being that, according to Dr. Bastian, the spiroplasmosis bacterium caused the prion, and then the root cause was treated with tetracycline, and he eradicated it in his control group of sheep. Now, you cannot do that in a wild population of animals with deer. You just can't. We've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million deer, and the best hunters in the world can't predict where one is going to be at any given time. So there's no way to inoculate a wild population of animals. So that's out of the question. I mean, there's just so many different competing schools of thought on what this is and how it is and why it is. But that's where we are. You know, when we get back to deer, it just seems to be something that's out of control, and they think they can manage it. But it's there. You know, it's there.
Aside from Union County, I think, like, there are three other counties where it's been found recently that are new.
Franklin and Randolph were another one, two others, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, our first coverage of it was when it was first discovered in 2016 in February, and I was the one that broke that story. And I don't know how many chronic it got to be for a while that I felt like I was on a chronic wasting disease beat reporter, you know, every time there was a new one. And there was some great concern and panic then because we didn't have it, and then suddenly we did. And not only did we not have it, but we had a lot of it, you know. And that was what worried everybody. And now what we're seeing is basically the same story repeating over and over. It's just popping up here, and it's popping up over there. And I think that's kind of what the public looks at is, well, we've had it for a while, and nobody's going to be surprised if it's anywhere, you know.
Right. So how do other states manage this? I was reading something concerning, I believe Louisiana, it may have been in your recent column, concerning baiting and feeding and trying to stop that practice in these areas where close to where it's found. But it seems, I don't know whether Arkansas does that or not. Can you explain sort of the reasoning behind that? And is that a management strategy for this?
It is one of the, what they try to do by eliminating or prohibiting feeding, at least in, you know, for certain times, is to prevent deer from concentrating in a certain place where they can. You know, deer are very social animals. They touch noses and they do things that animals do, and they swap body fluids through just casual contact. But also, you know, while a deer is in a eating a, out of a corn pile, for example, that somebody may have thrown out, put out, or you know, had a spreader throw out, they, you know, do things that animals do. They'll urinate in that area. They will drop, shed saliva while they're eating, and another deer comes through there and picks that up. And that's how CWD is believed to be transmitted, is through the transfer of bodily fluids, you know, saliva, urine, blood, whatever. So by eliminating potential opportunities for deer to concentrate artificially by bringing them in with a practice, the states like to try to avoid that by disallowing those practices. The problem that you run into in a lot of parts of the state, especially South Arkansas, is that is such an ingrained hunting practice. You know, you're in pine woods and people hunt from shooting houses on leases, and they're confined to a certain area that they claim. So you can't hunt the way you traditionally did, where you get on the ground and you just kind of sneak from tree to tree. You're in a house waiting for one. So to increase your chances, you either plant a food plot, or you put out a deer feeder, or you put out minerals, or you, you know, do something to attract deer in. That's what they try to discourage by prohibiting or at least regulating those practices.
And you said there is a theory that this deer in Union County that was infected potentially came from some type of like managed deer community or something to that effect. What is that?
There, you know, there, deer is a big business, and there is a great demand and a very large market for genetically superior animals that have very high body weights and large antlers. You know, those deer can be imported from the north, the Midwest, or you know, wherever they are. The Arkansas River Delta has that great mix of nutrients in the soil and good genetics and low hunting pressure that they have deer like that. But deer farming, they actually do whitetail bucks, much like they do high-dollar bulls. You know, they harvest the semen, and they actually breed these animals and ship them out. And they're usually always kept behind what they call high-fence facilities, and they're there, you know, and the fences are very high so that they can't jump them. And there's a possibility that that deer in Louisiana came from a place like that.
So I guess I'm trying to sort of figure out what the big issue is. I mean, obviously, it's frightening that this could one day potentially jump to humans. And I don't exactly remember what happens to people when they get infected with human forms of this, but it's obviously not good. And I believe it's mostly fatal for humans. It's fatal for deer. It takes, I read, a few years for it to even sort of show up in an infected deer. So who has most to lose, or what's most at stake with chronic wasting sort of still being around and showing up in more places? Is there really an incentive to find out how prevalent it is, or is it disincentivized because of the risk of it sort of dampening or hurting, you know, the hunting industry?
No, you know, Game and Fish, I would say, is ahead of the curve on that part of it, that they have put human health and safety above the economics of hunting, I would say, to their credit. You know, a lot of people would disagree with that. There was, I think, a little bit of concern that showed up in hunting participation for maybe a year or two. And I think that that abated and people went back to doing what they're doing. But I'll give Game and Fish some credit for that, that they had put the human health and safety element before the hunting economic impact. And the effect that it could potentially have really is more if it were proven and demonstrated to actually have a cross-species jump, and that there was a demonstrable risk in eating I don't think anybody's going to knowingly eat a deer that's infected. If you had your deer tested and they tell you that your deer is positive, you're probably going to pitch that animal. You're not going to eat it. But if there was a demonstrable risk of getting that from a deer that you didn't test, you know, that you're just taking your chances, then I think that you would see a huge decrease in deer hunting activity and all that. See, one of the big things about public perception of deer hunting is there's a very high level of acceptance of deer hunting, even among non-hunters, if it's associated with eating the animal. There is less acceptance if it's associated with trophy hunting, if just for hunting for antlers. And likewise, I mean, that's why most people hunt, is to have deer in the, you know, to eat it. And if that element goes away, if deer is seen to be an unsafe thing to eat, then people will stop hunting. And there's the possibility that public acceptance of hunting, because people will hunt for different reasons, obviously. There's just this whole matrix of things that are interrelated. And then the economics of it are just a byproduct of that, you know, because the game and fish exists and operates on a very high margin of hunting licenses, and they're based on deer hunting. That's the primary hunting activity
in
Arkansas.
Those two things seem to be at odds with each other, though, trying to see how widespread and pervasive this disease is, but also relying on hunting as a major income generator. So how do the two work together?
Well, I don't know if they morph together so much. They're at odds.
Exactly. Yeah. How can you sort of have, it seems like a conflict to try to sort out how widespread it is in the state, but also try to keep hunting going at the same time.
What I can say is the way other states have addressed that. You know, Wisconsin fought it the way they fought it for a while. They went all out. They busted the budget trying to eradicate chronic wasting disease. They failed miserably, and they just said, okay, we're done. You know, if you or I were to contact a Wisconsin DNR with a CWD-related question, they would require that question in writing, and they may or may not respond.
And DNR is the
Department of Natural Resources.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
And probably they would give you, because I've tried it. When we first broke the story here, I had to submit my questions in writing, and they gave as terse and as short an answer as they could to it. It's like, we're out of the CWD business. It's not that big of a deal. We're done. Oklahoma, same sort of thing. I used to work for the Oklahoma Wildlife Department of Conservation for 3 years, and it's been found in Benton County. And Oklahoma is like, well, they're not going to cross the state line. Oh, really? And what's going to keep them from doing it? Well, that's just not going to happen. Their thing is that, you know, until we find it, we don't have it. And then Louisiana is same thing, but they have tested so few deer that they don't have. I mean, from 2000, gosh, I've got the numbers in a column that I wrote, but it's ridiculously small. And it is not enough of a number to even give you a infinitesimal baseline of data to make a decision off of. But they can say, yeah, we've been testing since 2003. Oh, really? How many? A couple hundred, you know.
Sure. So first of all, I just want to back up. In terms of Arkansas's, what Arkansas does compared to other states, I mean, I think at one point New York State eradicated it by culling deer herds, just killing them outright. I think there was some blowback. Maybe you mentioned that before. But what does Arkansas do? And other states?
Well, yeah, sort of like that. You know, Arkansas did a very concentrated. They weren't really trying to cull so much, but they went into that with the hot zone of Newton County, and they did a massive kill, shooting deer at night for testing to see, you know, try to get as close or as accurate an idea of what their prevalence was. And, you know, what they did was, for example, in Arkansas, you're allowed to kill 2 antlered bucks per year. And if you kill a what they call a button buck, or a young buck that hasn't begun to spring antlers yet, that still counts against your buck limit. Now, they're encouraging hunters to kill those deer, and they will replace your buck tag so that you can go out and kill another antlered buck, and that one doesn't count against you. You know, it's one of the things that they're doing. They're various, without looking at the regulations in front of me, but they've really liberalized them. They did away with what they call a 3-point rule in the main CWD zones. And since 1998, deer management in Arkansas had a state, what they call a 3-point rule, a statewide, that a legal buck had to have 3 points on one antler. So it could be 3x1 or 3x2 or whatever. Well, in the hot zones, they did away with that. Any buck is legal now, whether it's just got a spike or a button buck or whatever. So in other parts of the state, that's still in effect, like in zone 12, or zone 17 or 16, you know, wherever it is. But, you know, like they're not going to change regulations in Union County this year. But now that deer season's over and they go back to the regulation cycle for the 2022-23 season, there will be a chronic wasting disease management zone or area around Felsenthal and including Felsenthal. I think that will be about a 10-mile wide circle, and those regulations will be in effect there. And there's going to be, you know, the suspension of the three-point rule. There's going to be at least a seasonal suspension of baiting and feeding. You won't be able to transport a deer that you kill out of that zone. It has to stay in there. You have to, you cannot, if you kill a deer in one of those hot zones, you know, and you want to keep the antlers, you have to convert the antlers to a taxidermied product inside that zone.
Wow.
And, you know, the meat has to be deboned. It has to be totally separated from the bone, the, you know, all that. So it's pretty comprehensive what has to happen.
Brian, before we sort of wrap up here, that these zones, there are some of these zones that already exist in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Quite a few of them.
I got it.
Right.
But I wanted to go back to what we talked about at the very beginning, the testing. And you said a number, I think it was around over 1,000 deer that have been tested. Is that, like, within the parameters of this year's hunting or this hunting season, or
yeah,
since a certain,
really since 2016, since February of,
and what was that number?
1,182 as of today.
So that's over what, 5 or 6 year time span,
right.
Almost. That doesn't seem like very much to me, considering I don't know how many deer live in the state, but and this testing is kind of largely voluntary. You know, we were talking about Louisiana not doing, and I'm not putting you on the spot specifically.
Right.
I'm just trying to understand. It seems like the testing is just a drop in the bucket compared to the population in the state. So truly, it is spreading, but do we really know how widespread it is?
It's really a fairly, in my opinion, I think it's a fairly small data set for that amount of time. You know, they there for a while in 2016 and maybe into 2017, they were, Game and Fish was really going out of their way to test road kills. Any dead deer found anywhere, you know, they would send somebody out and test it. And they were trying to get an idea at that point. And that was statewide of, you know, just trying to find out where it was. But what they, you know, what they figured out was we got this high prevalence rate up in Searcy and Newton counties, and Boone County, I guess, and a little bit in Madison. And then it just really dissipates from there. I think there was one in Independence County. You know, so there's little blips of it. There, I think there was one in Pope County that they finally decided just might have been a false positive, because there's not been any other evidence of another deer anywhere around there having it. And they did their testing culling procedures down there and just didn't find it. So they also hold that possibility open that every now and then they might have a false positive. But yeah, the data set is fairly small and the testing is voluntary at this point. I kind of think that they sort of statistically know what they're going to know, you know, other than occasionally having one pop up in Union County. Okay, well, there may be two or three more, but the prevalence rate is going to be very low there. I don't think that any concentrated testing is going to show up, reveal, you know, a high prevalence rate in Union County or Miller County or anything like that. I think they've got that part of it figured out, but they want to know as much as they can know, I guess, if that answers your question.
But there could potentially be hunters out there eating venison from a deer that's infected and they're just not getting it tested.
Yeah. I would say that that is an absolute certainty that that's happening. Yeah.
So what do you think we should look out for next? What's the biggest at stake sort of issue moving forward?
I think that the greater threat that chronic wasting disease has at this point that we know of scientifically is the threat to other deer. There is a theoretical possibility of a cross-species contamination, but that's apparently pretty remote at this point, it seems to me. The advisory is out there, and Game and Fish has put it out there of, you know, do with this what you will, but we recommend you don't eat an infected animal. But I think that with pretty much assurance say that the greater threat is from deer to deer, and deer to elk, and elk to deer, and so on.
Brian, thanks so much for your time. This has been incredibly interesting, and we'll keep following this issue, as I'm sure you will.
Oh, yeah.
You will, too.
It's not going away, Adam, I don't think.
Nope, it doesn't sound like it. Well, we will be back with a new episode on January 26th. Don't forget, if you have any ideas for the show or feedback, please click on the link in the description of Capital and Scott. Thanks for listening.